You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, hey, we're Monkeying Around, a podcast about the monkeys. I'm Veronica Daschle.
I'm Elaine Swetman.
And I'm Charles Kelso.
And we're too busy monkeying around to put anybody down.
Welcome back to Monkeying Around. This week, we are joined by special guest Charles Rosenay and Mark Arnold. Welcome, guys.
Hey, great to be here.
Hello.
So Charles is a producer, actor, entertainer, humorist, author, and host of the Monkeys Interview Show on the Monkey Mania Radio. And Mark is a pop culture historian with over 15 books to his credit. And he's also the host of the Fun Ideas podcast.
Yes.
And today we're primarily talking about not just Happy Together, the Turtles from A to Z, AM radio to Zappa.
That's right. Now, I know, Mark, you've got a book or two about the Monkees. Is that right?
Yeah.
I know about Long Title, Looking for the Good Times, examining the Monkees songs one by one. Mm-hmm. And Elaine, you have both of them there. What is the second one?
The second one is Headquartered, a timeline of the Monkees' solo years.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
So that's the first printing. The updated one has the same title, but it does say second edition down here. And it has the Christmas Party album. So that's what's the update.
Oh, okay.
And a few other corrections. There's and updates and changes and things. So,
So
I will have to get that one.
That was updated late last year. Well, Charles and I were working on the Turtles book. I had to do that too.
So we've become these crazy authors that are working on multiple books at the same time.
Right.
Yes. We were working on the Turtles book. Mark was working on a book on Mad Magazine.
Which is almost done.
I think as we might have hinted to you in the past, Mark and I are working on a Monkees book that will be the follow-up to the Turtles book. So we're collaborating a couple times here.
Excellent. Both the Turtles and the Monkees are groups that are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I think that's a good place to start, which we all know is the mark of true meaning and
the be all end all.
Right. So why waste your time with these other bands?
Exactly.
Well, what draws you to bands like the Turtles and the Monkees?
They even say that. We write right on the back of the book. Open the doors to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and to your library to add this book. That was one of our purposes in really putting out what we thought was the most comprehensive book, discography, exhaustive publication ever on the Turtles, was in the hopes that it would be one of those, of course, get them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
Why is it that just because a band had all this great AM radio hit making success, does it mean that they're not cool enough to be in in a place where most of the people in there were probably influenced by these guys, the Turtles, the Monkees, the Raiders, Three Dog Night, you know, on and on. Great acts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now you asked a question, what draws us to this?
Right.
And I remembered. I think Charles will agree with me. I think it's their sense of humor. It's what draws us to all these bands. I mean, Monkees was obvious because, you know, the TV show.
Right.
Turtles, less obvious if you just go by their big hits. But, you know, if you really delve into their albums, they did some funny stuff. And on stage, wacky, funny stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So. That's what I was going to say. If you ever watch the Turtles performing, they don't take themselves too seriously.
No, they don't at all.
They took their music very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They didn't take their live performances and themselves seriously.
Right. Yeah.
And there are a lot of artists that take their public image very, very seriously.
Yeah.
The Turtles didn't have that problem.
No.
Yeah. even the Beatles were able to poke fun at things. You know, they had their annual Christmas records.
Right.
They did You Know My Name, Look Up the Number, you know, various different things that showed their offbeat sense of humor, you know, and of course, press conferences and other things.
So.
So tell us about the book.
It's heavy. It's freaking heavy.
Good doorstop.
Right.
You can build your house with them too.
And I was telling these guys before we started, mine was supposed to have arrived last week, but the Amazon has pushed it off until this coming Friday. So I'm flying blind here. I'm counting on you guys to tell me what the book is like. Ordinarily, I'd have read it by now.
It's probably because the driver said, dude, this is too heavy. Let's make a future shipment here.
He may have pulled over to read it.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, too. He hasn't finished reading your copy. There's... Right. Oh, yeah. I guess as I'm talking, I'll go, yeah, it's divided up into five sections. The first section being the Turtles and Crossfires, which was their original kind of surf band that they had prior to the Turtles.
Right.
It goes through all the songs A to Z. Charles and I review them all. Then we start all over again with Mark Bowman and Howard Kalin's years with Frank Zappa, okay. The Mothers of Invention.
Right.
And then the third section is Flo and Eddie by themselves. That's their alter ego characters.
Yes.
And the fourth section is they did a bunch of children's albums and TV specials and things like that. And we covered that because it was actually a lengthy part of their career. Mm. And the final section is various interviews. I think we have at least 15 in all with members of the Turtles, people associated with the Turtles, people who were friends with the Turtles, people who liked the Turtles, just whatever. But, you know, we got some really good people like Howard Kalin and Chip Douglas and Johnny Barbeta and things like that. So Charles can fill in what I left out.
Well, you know, you mentioned two of the sections, which are my favorite, are the ones where we go through all the Turtle songs, literally alphabetical order. And we analyze each song, why they were good, why weren't they good. I always say that Mark is, you know, the archivist and the encyclopedia of the two of us. You know, he puts in who played on each track, what year it came out, where it charted, and, you know, more of a technical review of it. And then I'll do the goofy review of, you know, sounded like this such and such a song. And I, you know, I don't like it because it had this much reverb on it and not enough chorus. And I'm surprised it was a hit, or I'm surprised it not wasn't a hit. You know, what I found out doing that, because I had to really not crack the books, but crack the headphones and listen to every single song they'd ever done, is what an amazing catalog. And it typifies the title, not just Happy Together, because there's so many songs that could have been hits. There's so many songs that are great pop, power pop classics. And in being able to review each song, I got a greater love and greater knowledge of the band, which I think people will use as a takeaway from reading the book. If you're a Turtles fan, you're going to pick it up. You're going to read it. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to thump. You're going to say, oh, wow, well, here's maybe a song I missed. Let me go to YouTube and find it. If you're not as huge a Turtles, maybe you're a Beatles fan, you're a Monkees fan, you know some of the Turtle songs. When you pick this up and then look at some of the songs that, you know, we point out are pretty much, wow, these should have been classics. You're going to play them and you're going to say the same thing. Oh, my gosh. They weren't hits. How come this band didn't have 50 hits instead of, you know, a dozen or whatever? And the other part, yeah, is the interviews, because we got a lot of really cool people to give us a lot of commentary on the Turtles, whether they played with them and recorded with them. And the one I'm most personally proud of is that we got Howard Kalin, the lead singer, to give us an interview, which we think is the last interview he's actually done. He's still with us, but he ain't doing interviews. He ain't.
Yeah.
He's not recording. He's not on stage. So this is a really like a real coup getting him to be in the book.
That's awesome.
It took Charles a while to get that. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, Howard, you want to be on? You know, it was more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's largely stepped away from what I can tell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
During the Happy Together tour and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if anyone out there has never read his book, read his book. Telling his account of the wild stories that happened when he was in the Turtles, because it starts off really interesting and it gets even more interesting. It's a really, I don't want to spoil the book now. Actually,
I mean, we tell the Turtles story too in our book, but we do kind of like the abridged version. You know, getting the. Basically, the career highlights, with performances on TV shows and tours and chart listings and stuff like that. But, you know, Howard goes really in depth with some, you know, really nitty gritty things. I'll leave it at that without getting too graphic.
Right.
You
know,
that he did during his tenure in rock and roll. Hey, it's rock and roll, you know,
that's right.
Got that lifestyle. So he was around everything. So
absolutely.
The hat trick is getting Howard's book, Mark's book, which has recently been put out sort of to coincide with him still touring with Happy Together, and then Our Book, which is the most complete of the bunch.
Now, you said you go through all the Turtle songs, you're going A to Z, right? They're alphabetized. It's not a ranking system.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
Now, well, I mean, just to throw one out there, just the other day, one of my Facebook friends was sharing the song Eleanor, and he commented that it's an underrated song. And I said, I agree. And in fact, Battle of the Bands, I think, is an underrated 60s album. And whether you think they succeeded or not, what they're trying to do is go one step beyond Sgt. Pepper's. Instead of being a fake band or a different band, they were going to be a battle of the bands, and every song is a different band, which is, it's a cool concept. And there's a lot of really cool songs on that album.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a time where we were getting Pepper, and we were getting Her Majesty's Satanic, and we were getting Freak. We were getting a lot of concept albums. Mm-hmm. So how does an AM radio hits band do something a little different, a little cooler, maybe thinking beyond the box? And although it didn't equate to tons of record sales, a few hits, Battle of the Bands is genius because they're literally, they themselves are doing all these different genres, and they're all these different bands, as the Turtles being all these other personas.
Right.
They used to participate in the battles of the bands when they were starting out. So they knew the whole show, you know, it was total gong show type rating system of American Idol, to be a little more current, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, you know, they knew, you know, we got to have a country band. We got to have a bluegrass band. We got to, you know, and they picked up all the genres really well. And, and they dressed the part. They went to Western costumes and picked out wacky outfits and dressed the part. So.
Absolutely.
And our friend, Henry Diltz, you know, there's a lot of monkey crossovers, you know, Henry Diltz, of course, more monkey's friend, tons of photos, Turtle's friend, tons and tons of photos. He did the cover and the back cover for us. Nice. Chip Douglas produced the bands. You know, some of the members of the guys who recorded with them also toured with the Monkees or Happy Together. And they were friends. You know, there's so much crossover, and you know, it's a monkey show, but we're talking Turtles. But I also want to keep bringing in the, you know, how much of similarities and crossovers were with the two bands,
right? Yeah, and if you follow the Monkee story, or if you're familiar with the Monkee story, then you're familiar with Chip Douglas.
Yeah, oh yeah,
you can't know anything about the Monkees without knowing about Chip Douglas, and he was a member of the Turtles, and he produced Happy Together. Which, I mean, you listen to Happy Together, you listen to Daydream Believer. I mean, if I produce those two songs, I'm going to go home. You're welcome, world.
The best pop songs in history.
That's right.
Yeah. Chip was a little bit schizophrenic, for lack of a better term. You know, he was with the Turtles, did Happy Together. Then he got lured by Michael Nesmith to do, I believe it was Headquarters or Pisces, one of those two. And then got lured back to do Battle of the Bands and those things. And then he got lured back to the Monkees again. So he just. So he's a very integral part. And he worked with both, even post their careers in the Monkees and the Turtles. So,
You
know. We love him.
Yeah. And it is a Monkees podcast, but I mean, I do a regular segment on the show. I haven't done it in a few weeks, but it's called You May Also Like, where at the end of the show, we'll talk about something. If you like the Monkees, you may also like this. But I mean, this is a perfect example. If you like the Monkees, I think you will like the Turtles. And if you've never seen the Turtles perform, look it up on YouTube and watch the Turtles perform, because that will endear you to the band in an entirely different way than just listening to the songs will.
We hope. You know, I'm sure there's some serious folks who are going to see, you know, Mark Volman throwing up in the air and saying, oh, what is that? We love bands that did shows, you know, Paul Revere and the Raiders, the Monkees, the Beatles. But there's a very big difference when we're talking Monkees and Turtles, in that there's a lot of money behind the Monkees, and they were busy filming, and they were busy laying down tracks, and they were busy doing promo. And then they were touring. They didn't have time, nor did their record company want them to go in the studio and spend hours and hours laying down tracks. So they got in, just like the Beach Boys, just like Moms and Papas, on and on and on. They got in the Wrecking Crew and, you know, in a couple hours, knocked out, you know, all these great instrumentations and all this great music. The Turtles did not. The Turtles did not have that budget. They did not have the label that was going to spring for Hal Blaine to come in and So the Turtles literally did every note, everything themselves. You know, they brought in some outside people once in a while, but they were playing with the Turtles. So very, very different in that way.
Mm-hmm. Something they do have in common is they both have very contentious relationships with the label or with the people in power. Mm-hmm. They lost the rights to even perform under their own names after they left the band. That's why they became Flo and Eddie. Can you imagine getting swindled so bad by a record company that you lost your own name in the process? Right. You know?
Well, if you watch that Turtles documentary, and if you haven't, that's also on YouTube, that came out in the early 90s. You know, it's they basically talk about their history in that they said, we'd sign anything, you know, if you gave us a contract, we'd just sign it, you know. So it's like, if you're signing away your names by saying that, you know, they probably did. They probably had it in there. There is a clause. Yeah. You can't use your name, Mark Foman or Howard Kalin or Al Nickel or any of the other band members, you know. It's like, whoops.
Right. Watch what you're signing.
Rotating door with Matt. It was manager of the week. Mm-hmm. And whatever that manager suggested sounds good to us. And then they'd fire him. They get a new one. They go back to the old one. It's really a hysterical story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like Mark, for instance, I know you've done the song by song, grading all the songs on the Monkees and now with the Turtles. I mean, what jumps out at you? That's a lot of songs to listen to, for one, put critical analysis into. But what is your takeaway after listening to all these songs?
Well, for both groups, it goes all over the map. You know, it's like, obviously you have the hits. And so, you know, there's no question there. Right. You know, they both turned out really good songs. But, you know, the interesting thing about both groups is they were at the time when everybody was being very experimental. Mm-hmm. And so you didn't have a group that 5 years later would sound the same, doing the same type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in fact, I was looking at just when the Turtles albums came out in comparison to the Beatles, just for an example. So their first album, It Ain't Me, Babe, came out roughly around the same time as Rubber Soul. Mm. Second album, You Baby, came out time of Revolver.
Right.
Third album, right about the time that's Happy Together, but right around Sgt. Pepper. Battle of the Bands came out exactly when the White Album came out, and Turtle Soup came out when Abbey Road came out. So, I mean, and you listen to them side by side, there's the progression there the same way. That's the fascinating thing. Monkees fall in that same pattern too. When I did the two books with Michael Ventrella, who's my co-author in those books, that was the reason why we did that book in chronological order of the song recordings, not the song's appearance, because it was that progressiveness that, you know, permeated mid to late 60s music, and all groups tried to accomplish it. Many failed, some succeeded. I mean, another one that succeeded, maybe the Rascals, you know, they had, you know, they started out very straight and formal, good loving, and then they did very experimental stuff. So, you know, it was just the times, you know.
Yeah, the nature of just culture changing at that time. I mean, we've talked about this before on the show, but I mean, you can listen to a song from 1964 or 1966 or 1969, and you could put money on it and make very educated guesses if you weren't familiar with the songs, what year those songs came out, because music was so different. And just, what is it, a 5-year period, I just said?
Yeah.
I mean, it could just be that I'm out of touch with modern music, but if I didn't know a song and you asked me to put money on it, did it come out this year? Did it come out in 2019? Unless I've heard the song,
if it came out any time after like 2003, it's all sounded the same since then.
I can
tell 90s, I can tell 80s, I can tell 70s, I can tell like late 60s, mid to late 60s, mid 60s. But
and it's such an interesting time in music, because while it was being very progressive, it was pulling in Eastern influences, interesting instruments from around the world. But also looking back to like vaudevillian type stuff and music hall type music was making a comeback at this. It's just this huge, just interesting combination of all these influences over the course of that decade. It's just fascinating.
One other thing I noticed is that before Happy Together in 67, their last album was You Baby, and it didn't sell very well. In fact, it didn't even chart. And so I don't know if it was the label White Whale or the other Turtles members, but, you know, that was kind of the catalyst that started making them get a little more progressive. And it's the only time in their career they really shelved a lot of material. And that came out later in 1970 with a title called Woodenhead. It's just like a compilation of unreleased tracks.
Right.
Years later on Record Store Day, and I talk about it in the book, they put out this album called Turtles 66. And it's kind of like the missing link album between You Baby and Happy Together that, You know, had they put out yet another album. But, you know, they wanted to kind of change their sound up a bit. And, you know, that's why, you know, they were researching and succeeding in getting songs like Happy Together and She'd Rather Be With Me and things like that from Bonner and Gordon.
We're going to take an intermission. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go away. Don't change that channel.
What he means to say is we'll be right back after the commercial.
As the temperatures get cooler, let's think back to a time where monsters fascinated our young minds, where haunted houses and flying saucers were the stuff of fantastical dreams. Come relive those wonderful times with us every Monday at 5 p.m. It's Monster Attack on the ESO Network.
So, Charles, I mean, you do the Monkees interview show on Monkey Mania Radio. You've been a promoter of conventions for years. You've done a lot of Beatles stuff. I mean, what keeps drawing you back to that time period?
Oh, it's the greatest music of all time.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Not wrong.
I want a song that I can sing along to, and I can hold a note, and I want to be able to imagine me and you. Oh, I could hide. You know, there's songs that are part of our DNA. We're happy. We're smiling just discussing these songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't smile just discussing Kanye and, you know, the whatever, you know, the 2003 to now. That's great. I never even thought of that. You could not pick out, if you were plopped into a studio and never heard a song in the past 20 years, and they gave you 2003 and 2010 and 2000, wow, you would not be able to tell the difference sonically, vocally. Maybe you can sing along if there's a hook, but not likely. It's maybe the same beat. Every song was different then. And even if songs were coming out by the same artist and you could recognize the artist, it was mostly because you knew the lead singer. You know, a Davey song is a Davey vocal, a Mickey song, you know, and Howard Kalin. But not every song was the same. And you talk about the vast differences in from the Beatles, from 62 to 69. I mean, every song is different. But the Monkees, you talked about, you know, the cabaret-ish stuff, you know, that was in there. There was country western, there was rock, there was pop, there was psychedelia. Well, guess what? The Turtles are the same thing. And and there's surf music, and there's one song that sounds like it could have been the Beach Boys, and another song that could have been the Beatles. And that was, for me, the fun of it was hearing, like, wow, so much creativity and so many diversified sounds from the same band that gave us, you know, these hits that we all know, you know, the Eleanor and You Showed Me and She'd Rather Be With Me, It Ain't Me, Babe, and Happy Together, and which goes on and on beyond that. And, you know, when you look at a book and it's what, close to 500 pages, wow. Well, you see that there's that huge breadth of variety and reasons why they were who they are, and they should be recognized a heck of a lot more. Mm-hmm. Besides the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I mean, I think everyday folks probably don't know more than a handful of the Turtle songs. Mm-hmm. And the ones that do maybe only know, you know, two or three. And it's, oh, really? They were You Showed Me and Eleanor and those also. And so, I hope the book helps that, you know, not just for the fans who will enjoy it, but the ones who might, you know, get exposed. And when I was in radio, not Monkey Mania Radio currently, but college radio 100 years ago, I did Charles Grosjean's Rock and Roll Potpourri on WSTV. And I would play I don't know, a Beatles song followed by a Ramones song, Ronette's song followed by Rachel Sweet. You know, that type of thing. I wanted to show how a 60s or 50s or 70s song, you know, would transition well into perhaps a 90s song or an 80s song or whatever the era was. And I always got a kick out of that because I thought that I wasn't just playing the Doors over and over like the rest of my DJs at the time, but what I was doing was hopefully educating an audience with a greater span of pop music. And yeah. I think that's what we accomplished with this book in its own way.
Yeah, and I've said this on the show before, but I grew up listening to oldies radio. This was, by this time, it was the 80s and into the 90s. When I snuck downstairs and called into a radio station to request a song for the first time, it was American Pie by Don McLean, you know, which it was not unusual, I guess, for a 12-year-old, except for it was like 1993.
But what did you call it?
I miss American Pie. Yeah. And the DJ said, wow, we have a politically correct caller. And I didn't know what she meant because I was 12. But I mean, at that time, though, I didn't know who anybody was. You know, I could recognize Herman's Hermits. I you know, the names that stuck out more than like the Turtles were like names like Paul Revere and the Raiders. You remember that name, Paul Revere and the Raiders. And I knew who the Beatles were, obviously. But over the rest of my life, I've been learning about these bands. You can't go deep enough. There was so much music produced in that. I mean, I'm still finding stuff I didn't know about from the 60s. And, you know, I'm 43 years old now. I'm one of those guys, I'm in the 60s stuff. I've got a wall of records. So if someone comes over to my house for a party or something, the first thing they say is, oh, do you have the Beatles? Do you have the Beatles? Well, yes, for one. But also I've got Paul Revere and the Raiders. I've got Herman's Hermits. I've got, you know, the Hollies. Like there's so much to choose from. So I love that you guys are shining a light on, you know, the Beatles are great. I'm wearing a Paul McCartney shirt actually. Right now. But they weren't the entire 60s. Mm-hmm. You know, they may have been the top of the 60s, but you know, there was a lot of other guys out there.
Yeah, there were 98 other positions on the top 100 chart.
Right. Now, sometimes the Beatles were more than one position, but still.
Sometimes I took a large chunk of that.
Right. So what are the chances of getting a book about, say, Herman's Hermits? Not to put you guys on the spot.
I love the Herman's Hermits.
I just put it out there. I'm not going to twist your arm. Also, Paul Revere and the Raiders. Those are two bands that I just really like, and I would love to get wider exposure. Because Paul Revere and the Raiders, for instance, were like the most televised band of the 60s because of all the work they did with Dick Clark shows. Mm-hmm. They were on TV like several days out of the week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a lot of material that's not available now, and they've sort of faded into obscurity in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, to answer your question, you know, we could do a Paul Revere book. I'm not saying we wouldn't, or a Herman's Hermits book. When we were discussing this, you know, we thought about Three Dog Night. We thought about a lot of different people, you know. Right. It just is, you know, the Monkees one we're working on now is the current one. So when that's close to completion, we'll probably start another one up.
So, as one does.
Yeah.
And we're going to sell our souls. We're doing a Taylor Dane. No, we're not. This is Taylor Dane. I meant to say Taylor Swift.
I knew that's what you meant.
Alan Swift.
Are there any hints you can give us about the upcoming Monkees book, or is it too early for that?
You know, we're not hinting. We're telling you.
Okay.
Here.
He gets.
Time,
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I think as of today, all the chapters are finally taken. So, guys, I told you, I think off the record last time we spoke, that our dream was to put together the Monkees comic book where we reprint, reprinted all the comics, but digitally restored them so they look like they came out not in, you know, 1970s, 50s, 60s DC blurred, but bright and wow. So they're jumping out at you. So we've gotten artists to do that, to restore each and every page meticulously. And then,
I'm excited.
We're so excited about this. And we got different celebrities to comment either on the Monkees or on each individual comic book that came out.
Wow.
So people like Chip Douglas, people like Paul Peterson, the actor, John Prost, the actor, Billy Mumy, the actor.
Yay, Billy.
Who else, Mark?
Butch Patrick. I just talked to Bill Chadwick, and he's doing one. And Who else we got? Dina Martin.
Oh,
Dean Martin's daughter.
Yeah.
And
is Valerie Bonet also in?
And me. And you. Yeah, we did a chapter piece too. It's not like we're, you know, we figured, well, we should at least put our thumbprint on it, you know. It's
If these separate celebrities keep coming in, we might have to bump ourselves.
Yeah, we'll bump ourselves.
So much has gone down in the past few weeks in that we might be doing it as a two volume because if you're printing all the comics and all the review and all the everything connected to it, we're looking at 600 pages.
Wow.
So
yeah.
It might be a volume one or volume two just for,
just for being able to lift it.
Well, there were 17 issues originally. The last issue was a reprint of number one. So that makes it a perfect 8 and 8. So, you know, it's like, and I think people would pick up both volumes because it's like, why would you want just half, you know, of the Monkees comic book series.
Right.
And they do it all the time. You know, Dark Horse reprints those old EC Tales from the Crypt and they put five or six issues in each book. Mm-hmm. They don't just put all 30 issues in one thing and here you go. You know?
So that would be a little cost prohibitive also and very daunting to any new readers.
If you think this is a heavy book,
right. And even if you just want to lay in bed and read it, a 300 page book is easier to read than a 600 page book.
And we also want to have the pages a decent size. I mean, we can do 4 pages to a page, but I mean, then you're like using a magnifying glass to read it. And, you know, we don't want that.
Really exciting. You know, we're proud that we got the Howard Kalin interview and the Turtles book and all the great interviews. For this particular book, we got an exclusive interview with Jose Delbo, who was the artist on all the comic books except the film. And he just passed.
I mean, he did.
Right. So getting him to do this really, really comprehensive interview about all the things he did. I mean, he drew the Yellow Submarine comic book. He did a ton of stuff. Every hit film or TV show that came out, Time Tunnel, Land of the Giants, you name it, he did it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Loved
and then he worked for DC doing Wonder Woman and things like that. So he had a regular straight career along with all the wacky, goofy TV tie-ins and everything.
We have an interview with him. We have Unseen Artwork. It's going to be a really special book. And, you know, where we say the Turtles, we're putting that out, not just for Turtle fans, but for people in general to discover. The Monkees book is for Monkee fans.
Well, I would say if you're a good comic book fan, I mean, you'd probably still enjoy it because, I mean, I know people who've read them because they read TV tie-in books or they read, you know, there was a similar series that Harvey produced in the 90s, New Kids on the Block, that did a few comics of that. You know,
I have some of those.
You know what I'm talking about. So, you know, there are fans of all this stuff that aren't necessarily Monkees fans per se. And I always think Monkees kind of connects with like the Archies. They did do a Monkees Archie team up at some point more recently. So, you know, I think, you know, it connects that way as well. If you're a big Archie fan, you probably like the Monkees, you know.
Yeah. And if you're just a fan of comic books of that era, it was a really interesting era for media tie-in where you had just about everything had a comic book. But they were really under an obligation to stay true to the show. I mean, their imagination just ran wild, or in some cases, you know, the artists had very limited familiarity with the shows they were adapting. I mean, the Star Trek book, they're all over the place. But that makes it very interesting because it's not just exactly the show as a comic book. It's another artist's interpretation of the concept in some cases. And the Monkees is a little truer to the show than, say, the Star Trek books were, especially the early ones. But it's just a super fascinating time for just media, well, for what was going on. It was like the Wild Wild West.
I'll throw out a name you might not know. Victor Willis. Mm-mm. No idea, right?
Right.
He was the lead singer of the Village People.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And gave us a chapter because he saw the Village People very much in the same vein as the Monkees, you know, a band that was put together. Vocalists, you know, he was the lead singer. And he did make a comment that, damn, but the Village People never got a comic book.
That's true.
If they'd been in the 60s, that would have been, they would have had a comic book. They would have been fighting dinosaurs.
I mean, there's a few other groups. Beatles had a couple comic books, mm-hmm. not a series or anything, but even the Cow Seals had a single issue comics at one point. So, it was a time for that to happen. So.
Absolutely. So the Turtles book is out now.
Yes.
What is the timeline for the Monkees book?
We're hoping Christmas.
Okay.
But it depends on, publishers. And there's a lot of variables with that. We hope we'll come back and then talk about it when that's available.
Yes.
As far as the Turtles book, the website is www.notjusthappytogether.com. Of course, you can get it on Amazon as well. This is a tough book for us to both sign and get people actual signed copies for both of us because we're on separate coasts.
Yeah.
It's a tough joint signing. The only time we're going to be together this year, as far as I know, unless...
Happy to get...
This is in Liverpool.
Oh,
Because Mark's coming over with me for Beatle Week. And part of the Magical History Tour that I do every summer for the past 40 years. So Mark's coming along. And, it's too heavy to put on the plane, but hopefully we'll get a few copies from Amazon UK and we'll have them there at the convention to sign where we'll both be able to hopefully sign copies. So that's kind of exciting, too.
That's exciting.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us today. This is fascinating. And so, everyone, check out the Turtles book and, keep an eye out for that Monkees book because that's a big deal. Getting a reissue of those comic books is something that a lot of us have been waiting for a long time. And if anyone out there is not a fan of the Turtles, I mean, fire up YouTube and check out the Turtles because you may find yourself down a rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. It's a good read along. It's great to have a service like YouTube nowadays because mm-hmm. you can read about a song. I wonder what that sounds like. I wonder if Charles and Mark's opinions are full of crap or not. Let's listen to this, and then you punch it up, and there it is.
We're waiting for that. That's what we're waiting for is the fan who says, "Oh my gosh, I couldn't agree with you less." And then rattle off a list of 10 songs that they disagreed with and then say, but on the other hand, that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for
them to do. I haven't got that yet with this. Yeah, with the Monkees book, yes, there's a few people that have said that because, rabid Monkees fans say, "I love your book, Mark," or "I love your book, Mike, but I disagree with half of what you said."
Right.
Yes. It's like,
It's everyone agrees, Mark. Everyone agrees with us. That's it.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't want to read a book that just tells me all my own opinions I already have,
Well, I always said this. I mean, the book I haven't mentioned, and this was done self-published years ago, but I did Mark Arnold Picks on the Beatles.
Okay.
And that's where Michael saw that I was, and I reviewed everything, mm-hmm. Released, unreleased, solo, group, whatever. And I wrote on my intro page, "If you don't like my opinions, write your own book." And I still hold that to this day. If you don't like my Monkees opinions or my Turtles opinions, write your own book.
Give us the website again of where we can find the book, as well as where folks can follow both of you online.
Yes. www. I don't know if you can even see it. Book. There it is.
Not just happy together.com.
Where to follow us? I'm in the streets a lot, so just come, come behind me, and I don't mind if you follow me that way. listen to Monkey Mania Radio as well as the Monkeying Around podcast. It's on live 365, 24/7. I do the weekend show, and I have it's the Monkees interview show, so I have the honor of interviewing folks, who have connections with the Monkees, and it's I think 3 years now, and just still having fun finding people who had even the slightest connections, or the ones who had the most connections, but I haven't been able to interview till now. So I'm still having a lot of fun with that.
Awesome.
And how about you, Mark?
Well, some of the interviews, in fact, a lot of the interviews that we put in this Turtles book are in the archives of Fun Ideas podcast. So you can listen to those through the usual sources, iTunes and everything else. Or you can actually watch Some of them, they were video podcasts, so they are on YouTube. So just look up Fun Ideas Podcast, type in, you know, Chip Douglas, let's say, and you can find it'll pop right up and you can watch Charles and I interview Chip Douglas.
Awesome.
Nice.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And how about you, Elaine?
You can find me on Facebook at Monkeying Around, on Twitter at Monkeying Around. We're also on Instagram, and our email is monkeyingaroundpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Elaine and Matt Watch TV, where I chronicle what me and my husband are watching on TV every day.
Mm. And it's hilarious.
Yep. And how about us, Veronica?
Feltnerdy.com. That's actually a website now.
Yep. Our new website, feltnerdy.com. You can also follow us on social media at feltnerdy, or for the adult content at feltnerdy and dirty, where you can see some stuff from our puppet shows. And there may be more content coming there soon, because our show we just launched Sunday, the venue recorded, so we have footage of our performance.
Yeah.
And where else can they find us, Veronica?
Earth Station Trek, a show about Star Trek, from the early days on NBC to the future on Paramount Plus and everywhere in between. Thanks for monkeying around. Thanks for monkeying around with us. Be sure to like and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and monkeyingaround.com.
People say we turtle around.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.